Welcome to Rolling Intentions, my name is Jason. Today, we just finished Monster Heart. Either way, we've got...
Charles, playing Lenora the Ghost.
Mike, playing Marcel the Vampire.
Nagor, Keeper of the Chalice of the Damned, the Mighty Fae.
Well, what was your character's name? Cat.
I thought you flushed that chalice Cat. Earlier.
Oh, God. Okay, and...
Damn the toilet bowl a little.
and we're doing a review on Monster Hearts by Joe McDaldo. The game is about stories, about a story game, I guess, about messy lives of teenage monsters. Everybody gets to choose what's called a skin, and the skins are basically character classes, much like the classes that are in... Apocalypse Worlds, and all the moves that associate with them are linked to them. And then there's the Fae, the Werewolf, the Vampire, the Mortal, the Ghost. There's the Infernal, the Queen, the Gurnal.
Yeah.
The Gurnal.
The Ghoul.
Infernal.
Yeah.
Infernal. The Ghoul, the Ghost, the Witch, the Vampire. Have I missed any?
No, I think it's all. Yeah. So. Yeah, and each of them have their own, I guess, specialty. Well,
the Chosen and the Mortal. We did miss two.
Right. The game relies on the same rules as Apocalypse World, though we didn't do a review on Apocalypse World or even play a game of it yet. It works sort of like Dungeon World, where you play the fiction. The fiction leads to moves, and these moves are what you use to activate things. The moves that you can use the moves that everybody can use, starting out of the box, let's say, for any type of skin, is turn someone on, lash out physically,
hold steady,
shut someone down, and gaze into the abyss.
And manipulate an NPC,
that's right. So these are the things that you can do out of the box with your character, and a lot of the times they get you into more shit, because they're all sort of not directly helpful, but they do make the story continue. And then every other skin has their own moves and passives that they have, which are story driven as well.
Oh, when will the murder stop?
Everything's red. Everybody's dead. Yeah. So the game pretty much plays out with two d6s for each person. When you get to a move, you basically ask them, "Are you trying to do this move?" And if they are, then you just take the dice and roll it. They get experience points if they roll one of the ones that are checked off, and you check them off at the beginning of each session. That's your four stats, which are hot, cold, volatile, and dark, which have certain things. Hot means that your character is fucking hot. They're
able to turn people on and manipulate them.
Yep.
Cold is their ability to shut people down and hold steady, the ability to act cool in a situation.
Yeah.
Volatile is the ability to fight or flight. It's literally lash out physically or run away. But your dark power is your ability to gaze into the abyss and see what the future holds.
Yeah.
Or maybe just the insides of your tortured mind.
Yes. And different skins could use these stats as well.
Yeah.
At the beginning of a session, you choose the person who has the most strings on you, and they get to check off one of those stats. And every time you roll that stat, you get experience. And then the MC, or the Game Master, also chooses one. This does direct the way that the game flows, because a lot of people want to get experience.
Oh, yeah.
So
It really took control of my character for me, having hot as my stat both times. I'm a ghost. I actually start at -1 hot. Because it was highlighted, I put it up 1. Or because I suspected it would be. And when I advanced, I later put it up 1, so now I have 1 hot. And my character ended up doing a lot of that. I enjoyed that. Just kind of having my hand played for me, it made it a lot easier to decide what I should be doing at any given point.
Yeah.
And it led to some very interesting
conflicts?
Conflicts, thank you.
Sure. No problem.
It's God. Joseph.
Yeah. So, the game just played out, basically everybody's a student in a homeroom. You set up, like, your homeroom, which basically is the people that are in your classroom. You set up your seating arrangements, and then you make relationship charts for each person and how they reflect their relationships among each other, what kind of relationship they have with other people, that sort of thing, or then what type of, where they fit in society. Yeah. Of course, there's strings, which are probably the most powerful mechanic in the game. Strings give you a whole bunch of different things that you can do to each other, and the way you get them varies. You can get strings by turning someone on, shutting them down. There's a couple different ways of getting them.
Yeah. And a couple more added by the skins.
And by the skins as well. And the strings can be used to... You can add one to your roll. You can subtract one to someone else's roll.
You can offer them an experience point to do what you want if you're targeting a player character. You can force a player character to hold steady in order to carry out a certain action. You can add extra harm to whatever harm you're dealing them, so that's a plus one.
Yeah.
Or you can place a condition on them. If you're going against an NPC, you can add one to your roll against them. You can add three to your manipulate an NPC roll. You can cause them to falter, hesitate, or freeze it momentarily. Extra harm and place a condition.
Right. So it has a little bit of difference with the NPCs. Now, NPCs themselves also have different things they can do, such as they can put an NPC's action against them with an advantage, add an extra harm to whoever harm the NPC is dealing with, place a condition on them, offer an experience points to do what they want, or come out of nowhere with a hard move. And hard moves are basically... a bunch of principles and such that I would use.
It's the MC dicking us over.
Yeah, and there's a list of things you do, like separate them, put them together, and they all have like different aspects. So basically it's what you would do with a regular GM. It's just they're put into details, so, and they kind of give you an idea. So when I look at these, I don't, like, I could have, a lot of the times, I could have just said, go with the obvious thing. One plus one harm, whatever. Or whatever, right? Just go with the obvious thing. But a lot of times you don't want to do that. You want to see...
It's
you
not
want,
interesting.
That's right. It's not interesting enough, so you want to put a different twist on it. And this is basically a list of ways to put interesting twists on it without having to think it up on your own.
Or feel guilty about screwing over your players.
True. Yeah, because it's how it basically it's built into the game to do so.
Yeah.
And it does, and also makes the game not so antagonistic, because I really don't think you guys felt like I was coming down on you personally.
Oh, heck no. There was a target on everyone's head.
Yeah. So, like, nobody felt like, okay, the NPC, or the GM or MC is out to get me.
I enjoyed how much of this was high school girls gossiping with each other to to create different ideas of what was going on in people's minds to control the classroom. Mm-hmm.
I think it does emulate a high school setting pretty interestingly.
It does. A homeschool's a great idea. I'm going to be stealing that in some form for another RPG. No clue how.
No, but it's a cool... It's just a relationship chart, really. You can do this for any system. Yeah. Burning Wheel does it, too. Right, where it has a relationship type. It's not really a chart, but you get to make relationships at the beginning of the game. Yeah.
Maybe you find mention that game anymore. Not for a while.
Maybe you find up GMing Apocalypse World or do something like homeroom for the game that you start in or something.
Yeah, well, you can...
We'll have to see what characters we'll pick.
Yeah, and best thing to do is read over the... We want to try to stick with the base rules for the podcast, though.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. It might be something in the rules that might allow you to sort of do that. So, anybody got any, like, a little bit of words to add to the game? I mean, some stuff they liked about it, some stuff they didn't like about it, some stuff that was frustrating, some stuff that wasn't frustrating.
I found the advancement was very straightforward and very... good.
Right, and the advancement is, like, you can gain experience by rolling, like I said, the stat that's checked off, or you can even offer somebody an experience point to do what you want if you have a string on them.
Have a string to burn.
Once you have 5 experience, you can get an advancement. Now, we didn't go through this, but there's also a thing called grown-up moves, which you get when the end of seasons. Myself turned into, like, the big baddie towards the end. Oh, yeah. He became the main antagonist.
It all started with the fucking teacher pushing me around wanting to know where the fuck I live.
Yeah. But it's funny, though, because the game does that, hey? Like, everybody, like, the game has protagonists and antagonists, but you don't know who's in protagonist and antagonist. And unlike a lot of games where the antagonist sort of, like, you don't know what happens with the antagonist, because a lot of the times when you play RPGs, it just focuses on the heroes in a party, and the antagonist usually is just, oh, some evil guy in the background or whatever.
He's just sitting around in his castle. Everyone is resting for 2 weeks every time they get in a battle.
Yeah, and in this game, the antagonist is a living, breathing entity.
Yeah,
especially if it's another player, because they're fucking... You get to see what they do with their daily lives and how they're manipulating the situation as the world is living.
Yeah,
it's like a living environment, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really thought that the way Marcel became the killer was really... Like, you didn't know that was going to happen.
I didn't know that was going to happen.
It just happened, and then it snowballed.
I'm sorry, did you tell me that I didn't know that at some point Mike was going to murder people? Because I gotta tell you, that is bullshit.
Well, I didn't know he was gonna become like the main antagonist.
I didn't expect him to become the main antagonist.
No, I mean, he basically became the big boss man.
Kinda.
I just started killing people indiscriminately.
So this was a much higher paced, much more intense session than the first one. What did the fronts in that have to do with it?
Okay, so let me go down through that. So there is no fronts.
No. Okay.
So there's something else. So the very first session, what you do is you sit down and you watch what everybody else does.
Yeah.
And you go through.
That's why it was very slow and it.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was character building.
But it was slow.
Yeah. It was still fun. But there was no a lot of action. There's nothing really big or and intense happening, right? So what happens with that is I learn about your characters and then I create things called menaces. And menaces are basically things that set up stakes. So, for instance, a menace that I put down was the party. And the stakes were, will Peter get his revenge on Marcel? The other one is, will Phil sleep with Kat? These are pre-done stakes. What happens when Joseph finds out about Leona's secret? That was one of the other stakes. And it all happens.
Right? Oh dear.
Right? So all this happened.
What I should have done instead of writing what do you want, I should have write you know who I am. You should have the wisdom to guess who I am.
But still, it would turn it really interesting.
Oh, fuck right? Yes.
So then you write down threats.
Did you have any clue I was going to do anything like that?
I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what you guys are doing, right? So the other thing is you write down threats, right? So write down Peter's one of the threats. And Peter was... and then you get to have these things called cravings, offerings, and capacity. And with that, choose one of each, right? So he was notary?
Notoriety.
Lash out and provoke reaction. That's what he wants. That's what he does. He offers power, which is shower with outlandish gifts. Which in a situation really didn't do the offering thing yet. And the capacity is calculated sacrifice, which he did by hitting basically Lucy and trying to pin it on Marcel. Right? It's not exactly how I pictured it to happen though. But, it was nothing I could come up with, right? And then Phil was intimacy, which was isolate them, which she tried to do with Kat. Sex was the offering. And cold betrayal was turn their friends against them. So...
I don't think she needed any help.
No.
I was going to say, what friends?
Yes, so...
The one she hasn't killed.
But at least that's how it works. At least that's how I see it works. I might be completely wrong, but that's how I can see it. I've been reading it and trying to figure out how the menace thing works exactly. It
seemed to work out pretty well. Just it didn't take you long to come up with these, did it?
I did it probably the last half hour. Like, I did it and then I took a nap before you guys came over.
So it was like a half an hour?
Less than that, yeah. 15 minutes or so.
So we got a really intense session out of... Very small amount of planning. I love that.
Yeah, 15 minutes. I just wrote down a couple questions.
I don't care if you're doing it right by the book. You're doing something right.
Yeah. And then Finkel and Connor and Edward were all kind of written down. We found out Edward was a bit of a weirdo. Anyways. So other than that, like, how do you guys feel with the game?
I really do enjoy it. I had my doubts. Really did not want to go back into a high school setting. Turns out I enjoyed it, playing as a slutty female ghost.
I think it's good fun, and I had some good time with it. I think you have to go into it understanding what it is. There's going to be a lot of fucking around, and that's part of the fun. But you got to go into it aiming to have fun with it, I think.
Yeah. I think being familiar with Apocalypse World before coming into this really kind of helped.
Yeah. It does, and to tell you the truth, if you read the book, it would help too. So,
intended to,
right?
I didn't get the time.
I know, but Apocalypse World and Monster Hearts and Dungeon World also have very similar.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very strong game and a very fun game. It's a lot. How much fun you have is a lot up to the creativity of the people involved, right?
Yeah, I think it's intense too, and Apocalypse World is very much like that too. It drains you quickly.
I really can't wait to GM it.
Yeah,
I have so many ideas for Apocalyptic Worlds.
Yeah,
seeing which ones I can work with it.
Yeah, I think like especially and the same thing. The fronts are very short. if you look at the front, you can do all that in 10 minutes. So yeah. There's nothing to it, right? And the one thing I like about this game is that, yeah, there's no preparation. I fucking hate doing preparation. I remember once before I did a preparation for Monster Hearts, and I spent a good hour coming up with different things for each person. And I didn't realize that I'm not supposed to do that. I'm just supposed to make a menace and they ask questions, right? And that's what I did, and it turned out even better. So
yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, so I think the game has, I think Joe did a good job at this game. It is an Apocalypse World hack, and the fact that he's a Canadian game designer, I think that gives us props, I think.
Yeah, I think really positively of this game. Now, I might just end up playing Apocalypse World all the time and never this, but if you guys wanted to try another session of this beyond the podcast, I'd be up for it.
Totally, and well, Apocalypse World is also done by a different game designer too, right?
This is definitely one of the better Apocalypse World hacks that I've played. Where I've played three now, I've played this one, I've played Dungeon World, and I've played fucking Nightmare or whatever it was.
Also, since we're talking Apocalypse World hacks, there is a couple. There's another one called The Regiment. And there's another one that Aaron told me about that looked really interesting, and I want to take a look at it too.
I don't know why we call them hacks. Back in my day, we called them rip-offs. Because that's basically what they were.
But the games are so different.
This isn't a rip-off at all. No. This is
It's so different than the game. It's just
about the same system. It's just being honest about its inspiration. It's a different thing.
Yeah. It has a different intensity. The thing is with Apocalypse World is, the Apocalypse World, if you didn't play in an apocalypse, it doesn't work.
No.
Right? It's not a system like D&D where you could take the system and put it into whatever you want.
The first rule of Apocalypse World is to barf Apocalyptica. If you do not barf Apocalyptica, you're not playing Apocalypse World or anything even remotely like it.
If you don't what?
It's a thing that you do as a master of ceremonies in Apocalypse World. You have to talk about the apocalypse and put people into the setting and feel the world and make up facts that not necessarily are coherent with what we're used to.
It's actually also a player guidance. On a lot of their stuff, they're supposed to remember, hey, this is the apocalypse.
Yeah. So. And that's Monster Hearts. I love the game, and I hope we get to play more games like this.